Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, best-selling author of the book, The Fitness Mindset and Rewire Your Mindset, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests on all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is Luke Campbell, MBE on Olympic gold medals, professional boxing, and building the mindset of a champion. Luke is a British Olympic gold medalist, Commonwealth champion, and former professional boxer. And in today's episode, we do a lot of deconstructing on his mindset. One of the things that I love about Luke is his approach to life. If you're looking to move your mindset to another level, regardless of whether you follow boxing or are familiar with the sport at all, there's something in here in today's podcast for you. We discuss finding your passion, whatever that is, advice to your younger self, what he would have done if he hadn't become a professional boxer, winning the Olympic gold medals at London 2012, and his toughest fight to date, and how he had to make that shift from amateur to pro. And I think there's so much here for anybody that's just looking to up or increase their own performance in whatever your given sport is or the thing that you're interested in. We also talk about his relationship with social media and the power of enjoying the moment and the importance of your inner circle and having those people and that support network around you when it comes to setting out and achieving any goal that you set for yourself. As I said, you don't have to be a boxing fan to get loads from this episode. If you're a boxing fan, you're also going to love it because Luke doesn't do too many long form conversations like this. So a massive thank you to Leisha Cocaine, who was on the podcast Make Me Sugar Free a few weeks ago, who set this up. So without further ado, here is Luke Campbell. MBE on Olympic gold medals, professional boxing, and building the mindset of a champion. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Luke Campbell, MBE. Luke is a British Olympic gold medalist, Commonwealth champion, and former professional boxer. As an amateur, he won gold at the 2008 European Championships, silver at the 2011 World Championships, and gold at the 2012 Olympic Games in London, all in the bantamweight division. He also challenged twice for lightweight world titles, and in July of this year, he retired from professional boxing 9 years after winning Olympic gold at the London Games. He now spends his time free time with his family in Hull, and I'm looking forward to talking all things mindset, boxing and discipline and mindset in general in today's episode. Luke, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Mate, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I know your life has taken a completely different change over the last few months since you kind of pulled yourself out of the world of professional boxing and spending a lot more time at home, prioritizing other things. But before we get into any of that, talk to us a little bit about your backstory and kind of what got you into boxing. I'm always curious with anybody who's excelled in their sport to kind of get to the level where you're at, which is, you know, the pinnacle of peak physical fitness and getting your mindset to the place where you're bringing home Olympic gold medal for Britain and going professional with fighting. But talk about how you got into boxing. Like, where did that all start, you know, and talk us a little bit about your backstory.
So I was the age 13, and for some reason I wanted to do boxing for no reason. Actually, I didn't know anybody that was involved in it. I had no family that was doing it at the time, no friends that was doing it at the time, but for some reason I wanted to do boxing. So I went into the gym at the age of 13, and I guess it went from there. For the likes of myself, I had a really bad start to boxing because I think out my first 10 fights, I only won 3. So I look back now and I'm thinking, wow, why did I continue?
Why did you continue?
Well, like I say, I asked myself that question, and I guess it was I lost my first 2 fights, and then I won my next 2 fights. And I guess it was that winning feeling of the referee raising my hand. I guess that's what I just kept chasing ever since, that feel-good feeling. Like that's a feeling that no drug can ever do. Like that self-achievement, that victory is all on my toes. And, you know, I guess I was after that feeling forevermore in the world of boxing.
Did you feel a pull to boxing? Was it the personal achievement that it gave you, or was it boxing itself that pulled you, Luke? And I'm curious, as somebody that gets to the top of their sport, is it a passion thing that drives them, or is it just something that's personal within them that whatever way they channeled it, they were going to succeed in what they did? What was the case for you?
Oh, it has to be passion, especially in the sport of boxing, because if you don't have any passion to do it, then it's the wrong sport to be in because you can get seriously hurt. But I guess it was also the self-achievement. I guess there's a few things that, you know, you can add to why you want to do it, or, you know, what keeps driving you. You know, passion is certainly one. self-achievement, I guess, for me, was another one that was on par with passion. I wanted to achieve something for myself. And them two was big drivers in why I did what I did and why I went on for 22 years in the sport of boxing.
And what I love about boxing in any sport, I do lots of ultramarathons, triathlons, things that are kind of individual based, that you get so much achievement from them because the book falls for you. What's some of the biggest lessons that apply to your life, Luke, that boxing has taught you? So the things that you got in terms of, you know, maybe it's discipline or mental strength, yeah, or ability to push through. What's some of the biggest life lessons that boxing has taught you?
You know, boxing's one of them sports where sometimes it's not on main street channels and stuff like that, because it's, you know, it's a violent sport, or looked upon as a violent sport, I guess. But the things that you get from boxing, like for myself, you get discipline, dedication, respect, working hard, all them ingredients that will carry you on in life in so many other things. Like, it offers and brings so much. Taking them ingredients from boxing, I can go into anything now in life with that, and people will be interested in, because people want you working for them or want to know you because you carry such important values as well. You know, it's made me into the man I am today, to be honest with you. I was one of them that struggled through school. So I struggled bad through school, and boxing for me was a release of anger, aggression and frustration as well. So not only did I pick up certain ingredients to make me a better person, I also let go of certain things that was making me not such a nice person.
What would be an example of some of those things, Luke?
Anger, aggression, frustration. You know, having carrying them around as a kid, struggling through school and stuff like that, it really relaxed me and just, I guess, made me a nicer person.
Is that because of the complete focus that's required from boxing, in terms of, you know, you're literally getting punched in the face? So it requires you to kind of train your mindset, train your body to a certain level, and you're able to channel that anger and frustration. Is that why boxing helped you so much?
Yeah. You know, it's not even channel it. It's just to let go of it. Because when you're in there and you're hitting a bag and, you know, you're tired and you're breathing heavy, all that aggression just falls out of you, and you hit it into the bag or into your sparring your opponent who you're sparring and training with, and it just really relaxed me and made me a nicer person, because I just, instead of carrying it around, I just was managed just to let go of it all and get it out of my body, out of my system.
What would be the advice that you'd offer somebody in a similar position, Luke, who's, say, a younger kid, you know, in their early teens, that's struggling with those things like anger and frustration? And I ask that question knowing that there's a lot of adults listening to this podcast who either will have potentially kids in that position or will be in that position themselves. Anger, frustration, all of those things are something I've struggled myself to let go of. Yeah. And I'm curious, what would be the advice that you'd offer? Would you say to go and hit a bag, to, you know, sign up to something that's going to channel your mind? Or what would be the advice you'd offer to your younger self if you could go back now with all the experience and wisdom that you have gathered and garnished and gained over the years? What advice would you offer somebody in a similar position to your younger self?
You know, that certainly worked for me, and I'm sure it'll work for 95% of kids. You know, one other kid might have a different release of letting things go in maybe a different sport or something like that. But, you know, if you don't do something, you know, they're just going to keep carrying it around and it's going to build and build. But there's nothing better than being able to, I don't know, hold some pads up and let someone hit it as hard as they can and see all that anger and aggression come out of them and just let go of it. And like I say, it's also focusing your mind as well, because like you say, when you're in the ring and there's you're sparring, or there's someone in front of you, or you're hitting the bag for 2 minutes, like, or 3 minutes, you focus on nothing else but that. Like, there's nothing else that's coming into your head about yesterday, about what happened this morning, or what you're going to do tonight. It's literally, you're in the moment, and that's quite calming in your own head. You know, say like meditation's another one, but just being able to focus your mind on something for a couple of minutes straight and not having anything else come into your mind, it just gives it that little bit of peace and quiet.
I love that. It's nearly forced presenceness, was, I think, is, yeah, as you said, it's a form
without
of
growth. Even you knowing, you know, you're not trying to do it.
Yeah, I think that's where the secret is. It's particularly for particularly younger people who struggle probably to label and put words to those emotions. It's just an outlet for them potentially to work through it. It's a form of meditation for them, whether they know it or not. We've talked on anger and frustration there, and I kind of want to, it might seem like an obscure segue, but this is something that I definitely wanted to touch on, because on Instagram, it was a couple of months ago now, I think it was in August, you posted this, you went through your medals and belts and what they mean for you, you know, the different ones and what they meant for you. I'm curious, Luke, when you were fighting, amateur and professional, did you have a different mindset or a different why before each fight? Or how did you fuel yourself? Was it the same thing that would fuel you for every fight? Or did you find different things as you went along to kind of keep you motivated, keep you fueled, to keep you kind of disciplined for the upcoming fight? What was your process for that?
The mindset for amateur boxing and professional boxing are two completely different things, even though it's the same sport in a way. The amateur sport, you know, I did for love. I did because I loved the sport. It was a game of chess, you know. It was, I don't know, it was the love of the sport. But the professional side of things was a business, and it also was the hate game. You know, you're not going in there to pick points and outsmart somebody. You're going in there to hurt somebody, you know, to bust them up. And that was the difference.
How did you make that shift in terms of the mindset shift from amateur to pro? Because that sounds like a completely different jump, because you're going from one way of feeling, you know, it's nearly bringing it back to what you said earlier, the passion and the love, to looking at it as the business side. How did you find that transition, or how did you make that mindset shift?
It's forced upon you. It's the road, it's the journey, I guess, that changes you. You know, your first couple of pro fights, you know, and then you're starting to get harder fights and wearing different gloves with hardly any padding in, you know, and your mindset and everything has to change in the professional game, because, you know, you go in there, you're fighting longer rounds, more rounds. You go in there, and if, you know, if you're not in there to, you know, to hurt somebody, it's a long, hard night's work for you. So you have to develop that tougher mindset to go in there and really want to inflict pain on someone. And, you know, the fight fans are fantastic, they're brilliant, but that's what they want to see. They want to see knockouts and someone getting chinned and bust up and things like that. You know, that's boxing. As much as it is brutal, the brutal side of it is, but it's also a very beautiful sport in itself, and what you can take from it and learn from it, and the principles and values that I carry from boxing for the rest of my life.
With the mindset shift, to kind of say hurting somebody is the language you use, which I think is very applicable, because it's a completely different level and you're moving up. Did you struggle with that, Luke, or was that something that you kind of took like a fish to water? What was your process from that particular focus point of you're now going out there to hurt somebody? Did you struggle to make that transition, or did you find that relatively easily? What was your process for that? Or what was your journey like for that?
Yeah. Do you know what? I wouldn't say I did it easy. I wouldn't say I adapted to that easy. But I also wouldn't say I particularly struggled with that easy. You know, I knew what I signed up for.
Another thing that I wanted to touch on, Luke, and this is one of my favorite quotes. I can't remember where I saw this in the lead up. Again, I've been following your Instagram page for ages, so it was in through Instagram and one of the links that I found. But you talk about that talent is nothing without discipline and dedication, and discipline and dedication are talent in themselves. Yeah. Have you always been naturally disciplined and dedicated, or is that something that you developed over time?
I think that's my biggest talent. Do you know what? And I was sick of kids saying, of young kids saying, oh, he was the most naturally talented fighter. It could have been this, it could have been that. But then I'm thinking, well, without dedication and discipline, that means absolutely nothing.
How do you develop that discipline? And the dedication, I think we can unpack nearly separately, because I think it's, you know, you are what you repeatedly do. It's obviously your habits and turning up every day. But when it comes to the discipline, I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with. How did you develop your discipline to get better with it over time?
I don't know. I guess it all comes down to how much do you want it? You know, what's your mindset? For to be disciplined, you know, you need to really want it.
What drove you? What was your primary driver, Luke, because to get up in those early mornings to do those sessions, you know, to focus on your meals, to focus on your recovery, all these things that you have to do to get to your level. What drove you? What was your why?
I wanted to achieve. I wanted to achieve something in life for myself. And then also I wanted to make all my family proud.
What do you think you would have done if you weren't a boxer?
Oh, that's a hard question. I don't know. I wouldn't like to think potentially where I would have ended up. On one hand, I would like to think that, you know, I'm a nice person. So, you know, I'd have ended up being all right. But on the other hand, as well as, you know, I could have ended up doing things that I shouldn't have been doing and could have gone down the wrong path.
Yeah, I think it's funny when I talk to anybody who's kind of achieved the upper echelons of their sport, there's normally a trend that it's nearly the savior for them, that it gives them that focus. It gives them that, right, I'm going to stay on this path as opposed to all these other things that can potentially pull from other directions. And I think when it comes to things like boxing in particular, because of the grit and determination needed to succeed in it, it's something that's going to be very relevant and come up time and time again. We talked a little bit about the mindset shift from amateur to pro and how it had to kind of go from that hurting somebody, that's the new focus for the fight fans, for the business side. But how did your training and nutrition change from amateur to pro? Was there much of a transition from that, or was it more or less consistently doing the same things you had been doing as an amateur, or did you step it up another level with that? What did that look like?
I didn't really change much for the first few years of my profession, you know, from being a professional boxer from the amateurs. Yeah, I guess it was only in the last like 4 years is really when I started to change my nutrition. You know, up until that point, it was just more or less the same as it was as the amateurs. You know, you sort of eat healthy and that was it. Like, there weren't much more to it than that, when really there's a lot more to it than that, especially from the amateurs to the pros, because in the pros, you're much bigger than your fight weight, and you lose the weight, whatever means necessary, whether you crash that or whether you gradually bring it down or whether you do it a bit of both, make the weight, and then, you know, you rehydrate and eat, and, you know, you're 10, 12, 15 pounds heavier when you get in the ring than what you was when you weighed in. And then the amateurs, you know, you walk around your weight within a 2 or 3 kilos, and, you know, that's that. But so there's a big difference in that. And it was only in the last 4 years of my career is where I thought I need to be much bigger than what I am. You know, I was potentially only walking around at my fight weight. And then I was getting in the ring and I was fighting much bigger guys than me. But I didn't know the professional game. No one had taught me the professional game like that. So I just had sort of had to learn on my journey, really, myself. I start bringing in nutritionists and things like that to up that side of things.
Do you struggle to put on weight? Was that something that, because, you know, you're even now retired, you're still really lean and you have that build, is weight something that you struggle to put on, or is it just a case of once you do the right things working with a nutritionist it goes on, or what did that look like in terms of trying to bring yourself up in size?
Oh no, it was I was just always disciplined in trying to walk around at my weight, but the second that I relax and start eating what I want and letting my weight go, you know, I'd put weight on fairly comfortable. It's like now, for instance, my fight weight was 61 kilos and now I'm probably about 74 kilos, but I'm still trim at 74 kilos. I won't let myself, you know, be out of shape. I think that's just within me. I don't want to get podgy belly and be out of shape. You know, all I've been for the majority of my life is in shape, so I don't want to get out of shape because I want to look good. I want to feel good. And when I eat rubbish meals, I feel shit for it. So, you know, I think it's still important for myself to look and feel good within myself. So, yeah, I don't, like, my stomach now, don't get me wrong, in nowhere near what it was when I was competing. But, you know, I still want to try and trim it up a little bit.
Yeah, you walk around in really good shape, to be fair. Like, you know, following Instagram stories and on your Instagram, you can see. But what's your training look like now, Luke? Is it still primarily boxing based, or have you transitioned out of that into something completely different? And I know this varies when I talk to professional athletes or former professional athletes. Some continue doing, you know, the strength based work if they played professional rugby, and then others transition out completely and go into, you know, running or CrossFit or something because they're sick of the work that they had been doing for the previous 10, 20 years. What's your training look like now?
I used to train 12 times, 11 to 12 times a week, and probably 10 of them sessions was cardio sessions. So I guess since January time, I've just not been interested in cardio at all. Like, I'll maybe go to the gym twice a week at the minute, and I'll just do weights. I'll just do a weight session, and I've just not been interested one bit in cardio.
But you probably did, to be fair.
Yeah, more cardio. I'm sick of it. Yeah. But to be fair, I have all good intentions. Do you know what? I might go out for a nice little jog tomorrow morning. I'll get up in the morning, and I'm like, yeah, so I'll just go downstairs and have a cup of tea, and have a slice of toast. I just think, you know, I ain't got much desire at the minute to go out there and do any cardio.
You need a reason, though, I think, for sure, particularly cardiovascular training, like, because weights can be more fun than doing just the sessions you want to do. But to get up and go for a morning run, you nearly need a reason, unless you're one of those people who just loves to run, which, you know, is
I'm sick of it.
Yeah, I think that there was a lot in there in terms of the amount of years you were doing it.
If I take a year off, well, you know, what's a year's rest for my body? That's what I'm thinking. So I'm not forcing myself. I'm giving myself a little bit of leeway. I'm not putting too much pressure on myself just to get out there and start training again. Loads of training sessions and doing running and circuit training and things like that. You know, I'll do a little bit as and when, but I'm not going to put any pressure on myself to get it done. I deserve at least a year of just doing relaxing and not even doing any cardio if I don't want to. But, you know, I am a type of person that I do want to stay in shape and I do want to be fit.
Have you relaxed with the nutrition side as well? Then it obviously goes without saying that it's not going to be as strict as when you're competing, but it's still eating clean, eating quality food, just being more lenient with it, is it?
I mean, I always want to eat quality food, and eating clean, I eat clean to a certain degree. Yeah, I have a little bit of a sweet tooth, and, you know, I'm eating chocolate and things like that and the odd biscuit, but My sweet tooth isn't as sweet as it used to be when I was competing. You know, when I was in boxing, that's all I used to think about is eating something sweet. Now I'm not so fussed with sweet things, chocolate and things like that. I don't have it as much, but, you know, I do try and eat as clean as possible. But my problem is, like, I've always got a busy schedule, so I might look at the time, it's 3 o'clock, I've missed lunch, you know. And I'm just out and about doing things, and, you know, I don't get to sit and eat 3 meals a day or 5 meals a day if they're smaller meals or something like that. So, but as a family, myself and my wife, we always try and put good food on the table every night for our kids and all eat together.
I love that. What would a typical day look like for you now, Luke? I know you're really busy with your schedule, but what's your kind of typical day look like at the minute?
I'm now owner of a 24-hour gym. You know, we've got everything in the gym. Functional fitness, Olympic platforms, dumbbells, weight machines, cardio machines, boxing ring, functional area for circuits and things like that. So I'm in that department now. And, you know, I want to grow the gyms. I've also got other things that I'm on with too, but, you know, I can fill my day easy with them, and then there's the family stuff, what I'm always busy with, the kids' schedules as well. And then there's also just find a bit of time for yourself as well.
What do you do to unwind? What would be your kind of, again, this might be completely different now to what it was several years ago when you were competing, but what's your kind of thing to use to unwind?
At the moment, I'm doing a little bit of golf, so I'm finding that quite relaxing, so I'll maybe go out and do a bit of golf. Or motorbiking, you know, I go out with a few friends on our motorbikes out in the forest somewhere, go green laning, things like that, and that's just a nice switch off from everything. You don't think about nothing else but just being on your bike and having fun and going through the forest and up hills and stuff like that. So I'm enjoying that too.
Yeah, I saw a picture with Spider-Man, Tom Holland. Was that was from a golf day out as
that
well?
That was from a golf tournament, yeah. And what a lovely guy he is. Wow, such a nice fella.
Really, really cool thing to see on social media,
very
for sure.
Very cool guy.
I'm curious, because I do want to transition into social media, because you have a huge following as well, Luke. How did you handle social media? I know now it's a little bit different because it probably works really well to leverage, things, meeting Tom and the golf tournaments and your brand and the gym businesses, everything along those lines. But how did you handle social media when you were competing? Because it's a little bit of a catch-22, I'm sure, in terms of it's brilliant for promotion for the fights, brilliant for promotions for yourself, but also just it's very easy access to you when you're in that tunnel vision focus for a fight. How did you handle social media?
You know, I guess it's not necessarily handling it. Nowadays, it's just part of, it's just part of what you do. People want to see what you're doing in training camps and, what food you're eating and what training sessions you're doing and all that type of stuff. But yeah, I've never been a person that's took social media easy. And what I'm saying by that is I do struggle with social media and posting and being myself. I don't come across myself on social media. I really struggle. Like, I don't know, you meet me in person, and I'm who I am. I struggle to come across myself on social media. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because I don't think it's normal to talk into a phone, video yourself into a phone and be yourself and just have a load of strangers comment on you that don't even know you as a person. And I don't know, I struggle with that aspect. I'm much better in person than I am on social media. It's a funny old thing, because I have some really good friends out there that if they get any bit of good news or whatever, boom, they're on Facebook and they're letting Facebook know. Where me, I'm like, I'll ring people up. I'll see them in person. I'll say, oh, do you know this? Do you know that? Oh, I've got some great news, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, wow, it's one of my good friends and I'm finding things out through his Facebook. I'm like, wow. Yeah, it's a funny old thing the way people are with the likes of Facebook and social media. Yeah, I can't wrap my head around it. Twitter is one of them places where if you ain't got an opinion, then what's the point being on Twitter? Social media, your Instagram, I like Instagram, it's good. I like to see pictures and things like that, but why am I so bothered about posting a picture of where I am and what I'm up to or what I've got when I can just, instead of worrying about getting a good picture out there for everybody to see, I could just actually enjoy the moment and live in that moment and have it for myself. But instead, I'm more bothered about, oh, does this picture look good? Oh, I've taken this picture there, taken this picture here, and it's life through social media nowadays.
You mentioned there enjoying the moment, which is something I love. And again, I couldn't express how much I agree more with social media. Again, if I didn't have a business or any kind of skin in the game there, I wouldn't even be on it.
And I'm exactly the same. If I didn't have a business, if I wasn't using it as like a business, and I do have a lot of good fan base that follow me that want to see what I'm up to and what I'm doing, but I guess if I didn't have that, I would not be on social media.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. Again, I'm very fortunate for the people that follow me, follow you. It's positive.
But you also provide a lot of good information that isn't easy to come across, and good chats with interesting people that have good stories and things like that, so that's interesting. That interests me, but I don't know, this comes with a lot of other things as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword for sure. It's one of the reasons why I love podcasts so much. It's a little bit more conversational, it's in-depth, as opposed to a sound.
Not what you've got or what you're up to or where are you.
Exactly.
It's getting a good bit of information that's interesting.
Exactly. With that, you mentioned there enjoying the moment, and again, I'm very aligned with that school of thought. Is that something, Luke, that boxing helped you develop? Because you've mentioned focus, presentness, or is that something that's your natural tendency? So if you weren't a boxer, do you think you'd still not be on social media? Or, and I know this is kind of a roundabout way of asking the question, but I'm curious, is your life experiences and that constant focus on this is what I'm doing, I'm hitting the bag, I'm training now, it allows you to take that and apply it to other areas of life like social media. And I mentioned this knowing that one of my most popular podcasts, Luke, was with Johan Hari, who is the New York Times bestselling author of Lost Connections, which is a book about people who are addicted to their phones and addicted to social media. And the reason I think it got so many downloads is because there's a lot of people in that bracket who struggle with that. You know, they go to what you mentioned earlier, something good happens, instantly gets posted to social media versus embracing and enjoying the moment for what it is. Is that something that boxing taught you, or is that something that you just naturally, it's the way you are personality-wise?
I guess it's not necessarily something boxing taught me, because the way social media is now and the likes of boxing, everything, people want to see everything on through social media. So I guess it's just myself really. And, you know, my family, my wife. My wife's not really on social media. She speaks a lot of sense into me. It's like, you know, she's not on any social media really. She's got her own private one, which she hadn't used for a couple of years, but, you know, she deleted a Facebook account, and it's just like, I don't know. Why am I interested about showing everybody else what I'm doing or what I've got, when I want to enjoy it with the likes of yourself and my kids and enjoy the moment and being together and stuff like that? But sometimes, you know, social media is all about getting the right picture on there, and so everybody else can see what you're doing.
It's so true. You mentioned your wife, Lindsay, there, who's an absolute superstar. She helped get us set up with our technology side for the podcast. But how important was Lindsay and your inner circle and family and friends in general throughout your career, Luke? Is that something that was a strength for you in the low times or in the highs, someone, you know, having those people to celebrate with? How important was it? Or when you were going to a training camp and going to training for a fight mode, did you block everything out? You know, what did that look like for you?
Oh, massive. It's massive, massive. I couldn't have done it without her. You know, she's been my rock ever since. When I'm down about something, when I'm sad, you know, when I'm struggling being away myself, she's always been my rock, being there, being the one that's picked me, lifted me back up, lifted my spirit up, made me feel good in myself or whatever else. She's always been the one that's been there for me. And, you know, let's be honest, with the family and stuff like that, I couldn't have been away and done what I've done without her support at home as well, with the kids and the family and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's huge role.
When you mention those low points, is there anyone in particular that comes to mind?
Oh, just a lot. I've never been one that enjoyed going away, training. You know, I've always hated going away, always. But sent into me and, you know, just pointed out the actual things. Well, you're doing it because of this, this, and that. And I'm like, yeah, do you know what? I am, and I do want that. And so, you know, go get it, go wet for it, go show everyone that you know. Go do what you can do best, you know, and just pick me up on moments here, there, and everywhere. There's been a lot of down moments, a lot, you know, but there's also been a lot of highs as well, and it's just part and parcel.
Talk us through one of the highs. What was the, if you had to handpick your, and I know this is from a whole host of potential areas you could pull from, but what would you say would be your highest point in terms of your career and what you've done? Is there any point that stands above the others? I know it's very hard to pick a moment in time, but is there any that really stand out to you as your highest point?
My goal was always to be Olympic champion. I never had any intention actually turning professional. You know, I turned professional 9 months after the Olympics just because I was bored and I wanted to see what I could do. But my goals, dreams and ambitions was always to be Olympic champion. So that for me is the number one moment. I would say the second moment of release would be like, you know, my father passed away 2 weeks before my world title fight against Linares. And I went into that fight with not telling anybody about that. And, you know, I lost on a split decision. But it's a fight I fought and a lot of other people thought I won. And, you know, if I'd have just got given that right decision on that night, it could have been one of them moments where obviously my dad passed away and stuff, but it had been one of the moments in my life where I could have been like, I did it for you. I got that belt for you, dad, type thing. And that would have been a little, I'm going to say a fairy tale moment, even though obviously it's never a fairy tale when he passed away, but for going through what I went through and me fighting so good and should have won the fight, but didn't get a decision. I was on his show over in America, you know, it's one of them, but you know, that would have been my fairy tale moment to say that for you, dad, that was yours. But yeah, going back to it, number one was the Olympics.
Yeah, you fought out of your skin in both the Olympics and that fight that you're talking about. I'm curious then, what was your toughest fight, either mentally or physically, or a combination of both? What was the one that took the most, that either turned out the way you wanted and was worth it or didn't? Was that the Olympics or was it elsewhere?
Well, the Linares fight took a lot out of me because of what I was going through with the grieving stage with my dad. But also my last fight, you know, I struggled to go away in training camp around Christmas. I went away in America, just me and my coach. I was away for Christmas and New Year's, and I missed my first Christmas with my newborn baby. Like, stuff like that took a lot out of me. You know, I was really struggling, the fact that I was away from them, especially at such a festive period and a family time, you know, over Christmas and things like that. And I was really stressed on the inside, very stressed on the inside, being away from everybody. So that took a lot out of me as well.
That was ultimately the reason for the retirement, that switch into, you know, other priorities, family. I saw that on your Instagram.
And it could have been a decision, even if I'd won the fight, I still might have retired.
Is it just that life had completely shifted direction in terms of priorities?
Yeah, I think so. Like I say, even if I'd have won the fight, I think there was probably still a good chance I probably still would have retired. But, you know, it's hard to compete, you know, when the judges are against you. I'm on their show. You know, it gets into it. Like, we do drug tests. I got drug tested about 4 times before I went even to America. I got drug tested over there. And then to find out that they didn't submit Ryan Garcia's drug test after the fight, it's just really disheartening. You know, and it's the round I knocked him down, one of the judges scored it a 10-9 round. Like, come on, a 10-9 round. I just knocked him down. You know, and I was always up against it. And the politics of boxing during COVID, where I had a world title planned, invested a lot of money into training camp and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden they just took it off me and give it away to somebody else. And I just got pissed off with the politics of boxing and probably lost a little bit of, got disheartened in it.
Did that make retiring a much easier decision then?
No, I still struggled. People ask me now, oh, how are you in retirement? I'm like, the retirement's great. I've got a great life. You know, I do what I want. You know, and I get to be with my family all the time, enjoy life, go out on the weekends with my pals, have a good drink, do what, you know, take the wife out for a nice meal, have a nice glass of red wine, something like that. I enjoy that, which I never did any of that when I was competing. But it won't fun. The hard bit for me was coming to terms with retiring, accepting that I'm officially going to retire for 5 months, 6 months, you know, where I'd have many sleepless nights. I was going to bed crying. I was thinking, oh, am I letting anybody down if I retire? And all that them type of things was coming to me. And I really struggled with actually coming to terms with actually announcing my retirement. But now I've gone through that process and I'm actually retired. It's easy. I'm enjoying life. Got a cushy life, to be honest with you. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, happy days. I ain't gonna go away anymore. I ain't gonna bust my balls in the gym every single day. I can eat what I want, can drink what I want. I can book a holiday when I want. It's the small things in life, I guess.
What do you think you'll miss most about it then, playing devil's advocate to that?
Do you know what it is? It's the crowd that I would miss the most. You know, when you're on the way to the ring and everybody's chanting your name and cheering for you and want you to win and you're exciting them. That's the element that I most miss, the fans. Exciting the fans, them singing my name, them shouting if I threw a good shot and I hit my opponent. That's what I miss.
Yeah, that sounds like it could be massively addictive as well. Like I can see that pull for sure. I'm really curious, Luke. I just have a couple of more questions, and I've really enjoyed this conversation again. And just to speak to something that we didn't touch on earlier when you talked about the social media, just to give context that Luke is exactly as he says. Last week when we were supposed to record the podcast and we got mixed up with our schedule, instead of replying back and forth on Instagram DM, you literally called me on the phone. And I'd say I haven't been called on the phone in, I'd say, 2 years or 3 years by somebody, because
really?
Everyone texts, and I was like Luke is so sound. I was like, that's such a nice way of putting things across. And
I can't be bothered with texting all the time, so I'm like, right, I'm just ring you, it's really easy. I can talk to you as I drive. You know, texting's just, and plus because I was in the wrong, like it was my fault, like I'm not just gonna, if I just text back saying sorry, I missed you know, that's, you know, okay, whatever, text is a text. But if I ring up and say, oh, listen, I'm really sorry, I think it's a little bit more respectful.
Oh, 100%. And I really appreciate it. Like, I literally said to my partner after, I was like, shit, that looks really nice. I was like, that was such a nice thing to do. You know, it's these small things that I think, you know, it really humanizes you. And just for people listening, it's a small thing to take away from a podcast that, you know, when you make a mistake, or, you know, I've done it myself where I've made a mistake and now I'm like, well, I'm going to call the person and be like, look, I'm sorry. You know, I mixed up on X, Y, or Z a time or whatever, because it happens on my side all the time too. It's why I told you, I said, don't worry about it. It literally happens to me all the time. So yeah, I'm definitely going to follow up on that. But Luke, I just have one kind of final thing I want to touch on, because I know life has been a whirlwind over the last few months, again, particularly the last 18 months, between COVID, the fight, it getting taken off yet, the retirement, the switching into the family life, or more focus towards family life, the gyms, etc. But what's the thing that you're most excited about right now? Again, you've mentioned loads of things today, that, you know, going out for a meal with your wife and having a glass of red wine, like they're small pleasures. But in terms of your kind of focus and the thing that's driving you, that's getting you out of bed in the morning at the minute, what are you most excited about right now?
Potentially, I'm doing another site. I'm building a second gym. Well, I'll know if I'm building a second gym, hopefully by the end of this week. But that excites me that, yeah, I'm onto my second gym after, you know, 5 months of being running the first gym. I'm onto my second one, hopefully. You know, my idea and dreams there is just to build a chain of gyms that everybody loves to train in and be at and everything else. Yeah, so, you know, I'm involved in that, and I want to build that and be the best at that.
Just to follow on that, with the gyms particularly, because you mentioned earlier that boxing is like a business when you went from amateur to professional, and now with the gyms, it's very kind of entrepreneurial, it's very business related. Is it that drives you in terms of the kind of the entrepreneurial element of, you know, I'm in control of what I do? Or is it your, I need to have a goal that I'm working towards, and that's what keeps me motivated, that's what keeps me passionate? What connects more with you, Luke? Are you very business minded, very entrepreneurial naturally, or is it that you need to have this goal that you're working towards in order to kind of feel passionate, feel fulfilled? I would fall on the latter end of that category, probably more so than the first. But what's it like for you?
You know, if you'd have asked me this question 2 years ago, a year ago, it'd be different then to what it is now. I don't know. I've always been business minded and business set, you know, but all the way through boxing, I've had to pack a lot of my ideas and things involved in business because I couldn't focus 100% on boxing and start doing business things on the side that take up my time and my effort and things like that. So I've always sort of, like my wife's always suggested, listen, just focus on boxing, be the best you can be at boxing, put everything in that, and then of a little, and then we'll do other little bits slowly. But yeah, but now I ain't got the commitment of boxing, I can finally get more stuck into business. And I like that. You know, I do enjoy the business and the grind of business, of going out there and, you know, making something for myself and something else now.
Love that, Luke, and a brilliant way to finish. As I said, I absolutely love this conversation, kind of diving into your mindset and the different ways that you've approached your career and that transition out of it. I think there's so much here for everybody, regardless of whether they've ever boxed in their life or ever picked up a set of gloves or are just looking to take some of the lessons that you've learned, you've applied, and put it into their own life. So I love that. But Luke, for people that are listening, where is the best place for them to connect with you? Do you want to link up the gyms or anything you want to send people to now? Please do it, and I'll link it in the show notes for today's episode.
Yeah, so my gyms are called Cool Hands Fit 24. So I'm building that nicely. My personal Instagram and social medias, I guess, is Luke11Campbell. You can find me there, see what I'm up to, see where I am and things I'm doing. I do try and post as much as I can, fairly regular, just to try and keep people up to date.
And for everybody listening, I will link everything Luke mentioned there. So I will link up the gyms, I will link up the Instagram handle.
Thank you.
100%, and go check him out. And Luke, yeah, go, everyone listening, go check out your Instagram page, your stories. You're pretty good with your stories. I've got to give you full credit for someone that has personally said they're not a big social media person. You're pretty good, consistent with the stories. So credit where credit's due there.
I try to be. I feel like I have to be. You know, it's one of them where I feel like I have to be.
It comes across. It comes across. Like, I get all the story updates on it. I'm like, you're good with this. For someone now having, you know, spoken to you about it and know that it's not your kind of go-to.
It's not my cup of tea. It's certainly not my go-to, no. But I do try.
Fair play. And for everybody listening, on BrianKeenFitness.com, on the show notes, you can click in through to everything we talked about in today's episode and in the description for where you're listening to this podcast. Click on through. Go follow his Instagram. Go check out the pages, everything that's linked. Luke, thank you so much again for your time. I know how busy your schedule is, so I really appreciate it, and mate, thank you for all the value you've given in today's episode.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed our chat.
There you have it. Luke Campbell, MBE on Olympic gold medals, professional boxing, and building the mindset of a champion. Absolutely love Luke. We've had a couple of conversations before this podcast, and he is just the nicest guy, the most genuine guy. So I'm so happy that we got to have this conversation. So I hope you enjoyed it loads as well. If you did, be sure to take a screenshot, pop it up on your Instagram stories, and you can tag myself, Brian_Keen_fitness, and Luke Campbell 11 on Instagram. That's everything from this week's episode. Catch you all next Monday.